Well, the entire Catholic world is abuzz because of this morning's drop of a document. No, it's not a platinum record by a big recording artist. It is the Pope's latest apostolic exhortation, known as Amoris Laetitia, on love and the family. So joining us now, all the way from Rome, is Joshua McElwee. He is an award-winning Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter and author of the book, 10 Things Pope Francis Wants You to Know About the Family. He reports daily on the Pope and also covered the World Meeting of Families last September. He joins us to provide his expert analysis on the brand new apostolic exhortation that Pope Francis issued today in the wake of two recent bishops' synods on the family. Welcome to the Busted Halo Show, Joshua McElwee.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, I would imagine it's a busy day for a Vatican correspondent. Am I right?
Yeah, very busy day here.
Well, tell us a little bit before we begin about the document. I think some of our listeners are intrigued by what you live all the time as someone covering the Pope and covering things of the Catholic Church and being actually there at the Vatican. So is this like what people would see on our American TV when, let's say, the White House has a press conference and you got a bunch of people there and they're all raising their hands and saying, yes, call on me? What was the feeling like this morning and who was present?
Yeah, it was a very big press conference, kind of like what you might see on TV. Normally, press conferences here are pretty boring. It's just there are two of us in a room. Something big like this, there's so much interest around the world. Journalists quite literally travel from every country just to come and be a part of it. This morning, Cardinal Lorenzo Baldessari, who is the head of the Synod office here at the Vatican, and Christoph Schönborn, who is the head of the Vienna Archdiocese in Austria, were here to present Pope Francis's new apostolic exhortation, to kind of give an outline of what it contained and then to take questions from journalists about what the significance was and what it meant for the church going forward.
And you are, Joshua, you're a younger correspondent, so it's not like you've been covering since the days of Paul VI. But it seems to me, in my knowledge of how things have gone in the church, even, let's say, in the last 100 years of issuing, in the years of, you know, the age of communication, that what we did this morning is something new. It's not brand new today, but I mean, when Pope Paul VI put out, you know, Humanae Vitae, there wasn't this kind of thing. So it seems like the Vatican wants to make sure that people understand this, right?
Yeah, I think there's been a real concerted effort on the part of several Vatican offices kind of to take advantage of the new global media, social media, everyone connected era. And people are very interested in what Pope Francis is doing, kind of a new emphasis or new kind of way of encounter he brings to the church. And, you know, not just this document, but the encyclical Laudato Si attracted a huge amount of interest. And people all over the world really want to know what the Pope is doing, what he's saying, and kind of what it might mean going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking with Joshua McElwee. He is the author of 10 Things Pope Francis Wants You to Know About the Family. Joshua, we've got listeners from all over North America of all different, I would say, levels of investment in Catholicism and certainly in the institutional church. So can you take us back a few steps and talk a little bit about what people probably heard in the news, but I would imagine have since forgotten because we're talking about last October and then a year ago October, the process that led up to the document that was signed on March 19th and released today in a press conference. It wasn't just Pope Francis in his office with a quill pen saying, what shall I say about the family? This was the result of a lot of work. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, the Pope basically called two global meetings of Catholic bishops here in Rome at the Vatican for 2014 and 2015. He asked bishops to come here for meetings, what are called the Synod of Bishops, and he asked them to talk about family life. And as part of that, he also directed a Vatican office to basically do a really wide-ranging consultation with dioceses around the world and even with individual Catholics and people and organizations around the world, asking them kind of what's going on with family life in their local situation, what are the challenges, what are the needs, how should the church respond. And so for those two meetings, bishops came, they discussed a really wide range of issues, including some of the more controversial issues that we heard a lot about, And then at the end of the last synod, the last meeting in last October, the bishops made a very long document recommending or making suggestions to the Pope on what the church might do. And now the Pope is responding to those recommendations and has made his own document of considerable length to try and give a sense of what the church should be doing to address what's going on with families around the world.
So is it fair to say, or is this maybe too bit of a generalization, that this rather lengthy document, if I was queuing it up on my screen when I received it this morning to see if I wanted to print it out on paper, and Microsoft Word said it would be 278 pages. So there's a lot going on here. Now, they give you some nice margins to write some notes and all that, but it's 300 some odd paragraphs, as they're usually described or broken up in these papal documents. Would it be fair to say that this is, although it's lengthy, this is not, let's call it doctrinal, this is not new teaching, this is not the Pope saying, well, you know, we believe that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us that here's some sort of new teaching on the family. Is it too broad a brushstroke to say that this document is not doctrine, that it is more pastoral practice, or is that unfair?
Well, I think that's something that actually might be debated. I mean, it's not an infallible statement of the Pope. It's not something where he kind of sat on a chair and decided or said that he had heard from people and from the church and from the Holy Spirit that something needs to be declared. It's very pastoral, the document. It's got a very pastoral praxis. It wants to respond to what people need or what Catholics are expressing they need. But the Pope is also one who has said that, you know, pastoral practice is doctrine, and pastoral practice is also, mercy is also a doctrine. And so it's kind of going to be up to people. I think, you know, you're identifying one question is how is the document going to be used, what effect it will have in individual dioceses. And I think that's something we're going to have to wait to see.
Sure.
You know, how individual bishops or how individual Catholics pick it up and use it.
Okay. Well, we're speaking with Joshua McElwee. He's an award-winning Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter and author of the new book, 10 Things Pope Francis Wants You to Know About the Family. We're talking about the brand newly released document from Pope Francis called Amoris Laetitia, which is translated as The Joy of Love, and its subtitle is On Love in the Family. I would imagine by now, here we are, Friday night, coming up on almost 10 p.m., maybe people have seen their news during the day or watched their Twitter feed. Maybe some folks that are listening have already begun to hear some things maybe in the secular media, secular press. There certainly has been murmuring since last October and probably since about a week ago when it was announced that Cardinal Schönborn would be the one who would present it. People were saying, well, does that indicate that this document might go a little more progressive in its content? Might it be addressing some of those controversial issues that the bishops really had varying opinions on when they met in the synod? Would it be falling down on one side or the other? And I know part of that, it's great for you to have that objective view from over across the pond. Now, part of that is our American need to kind of bifurcate everything and to say, is it right or is it left and all that sort of thing. But upon reading this document, and I've read a summary and I've begun to read some of the paragraphs directly from Pope Francis, but in your expert take, is there a big headline? Is there a big 2-inch headline that says, you know, welcome back, divorced and remarried Catholics, or change of language about homosexual persons? Or is that all, you know, things that would not have even been expected anyway?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the Pope doesn't exactly on particularly on the issue of divorced and remarried Catholics. He doesn't exactly touch upon the issue of whether or not, you know, Catholics who have remarried without getting annulment can go directly to communion or can take the sacrament. But what I see in the document, it's very lengthy. The Pope addresses many different issues. But a common theme throughout it seems to be a very significant shift to asking clergy around the world to allow people to kind of individually evaluate God's will for their lives, using their conscience, using what they hear kind of in the quietest depths of their heart about what God is telling them. And a shift towards that and away from applying, you know, a general norm or a doctrinal standard in every instance. The Pope is very clear that norms don't always apply for people, that people, a norm can't describe a person in that person's fullness or in that person's situation. The Pope even says that you can no longer say, you know, just writ large, that people living in so-called irregular family situations are in a state of mortal sin, because you can't say that they are deprived of sanctifying grace. So although it's not, there's no, you know, big everyone's going to communion now, it does seem like a very significant shift in tone and even direction for how Catholic clergy should approach people living in different situations.
So as usual, this particular Pope, and maybe popes in general, has not given us something that we can easily grab a soundbite from. He does that sometimes on his press conferences on the way back on the plane. Have you been for those? Those are crazy.
Those are fun. I love
Fun. Yeah, they're fun. Have you been the one asking some of those questions that triggers those, whoa, big headlines back in the States? I would hope
I've
so.
I've asked the folks several questions, but never one that got a headline response.
So again, it seems like rather than that, rather than by fiat, because, I mean, there are some examples, even under Pope Francis's pontificate, where he did kind of stroke of a pen do something. Like, for instance, with some of the saints that were kind of waiting and there was a few steps more to go, and he'd be like, okay, here we go. This guy's a saint. But he does not do that. He doesn't leapfrog over the will of the bishops that were gathered in synod or the bishops' conferences from around the world that contributed to and responded to the surveys, nor the will and struggle of the people, both people who are really trying their darndest to live the teaching of the church and those who find themselves in situations that don't sound like they're the teaching of the church. It seems like he wants to include all that and focus instead, very Jesuit of him, to focus instead on what is seems to be a recurring theme in this document, and that is discernment. Can you talk a little bit about how that is presented in this document? I mean, well, what are we discerning? Well, sometimes we hear that word in the Catholic Church and we think it's a jargon for recruiting new priests. But he's not exclusively or even explicitly talking about that at all, is he?
No, and I think you're right. I think that is a very key phrase, key word throughout the document. And what the Pope is really asking, or what he seems to be asking, is for people to look into their conscience, to see what their conscience is telling them. You know, if they're living in a situation where they're remarried or they're living in any other situation where the church teaching might not be fully applied, he's asking them to look into that situation in their conscience, to listen to what God may be telling them. But he's also asking pastors and clergy and bishops to respect that decision. He says that in one of the sharpest quotes of the letter, he says, "We have been called to form consciences, not to replace them." The bishops and clergy can't kind of impose their own decisions on faithful, and the faithful have to come to them based on what they hear from God. And that, of course, is something the Second Vatican Council addressed quite directly, but we haven't quite heard so directly in a papal document, at least not to my knowledge. So it does seem quite significant.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's I'm sure, a great relief for many people to hear, many people who down through the years and decades even have believed that in their conscience they're not living in mortal sin and yet have found that in odds with what it seems to be presented as the church is teaching from official authority. And I agree. I mean, with how you described a few minutes ago, that the Pope said, you know, it's not for us to say whether or not someone, regardless of their external appearance, is living in mortal sin. I have to do that on the radio a lot when somebody says, oh, so-and-so is this because we know this about them, or we know this politician voted that way, or we know that that person is divorced, that none of us are in that position of judging others. And the Pope said that himself. I think he was trying to model that for us when he said, who am I to judge, whether it's about the situation he was talking about or any other situation. So it's great to have an official papal document, something that we can underscore when, and this isn't just as the Pope is strongly addressing pastors and bishops and whatnot, but this I find among the rest of the faithful, for people to start pointing fingers at each other and going, hey, you know, I'm, it's almost like that, some of those parables that we see Jesus tell in the Gospels, where the people that are doing it right, like, you know, the prodigal son, where that one son, you know, he stuck around. I was working hard in the field all this time. And I think we have a lot of that sentiment, and it's natural and it's human and it's an emotion on the part of folks who are, hey, we're living the church's teaching, we're practicing NFP, and we're sticking together through tough times. And then we look over there and see people that aren't. It's very easy for us to be the older brother and to kind of say, hey, what's the deal? How come they get to come back and they get a party and all that? And it seems like the Pope is saying, you know, let's allow the church's teaching and the pastoral response of bishops and priests to help someone else form their conscience, and let's maybe not have our business in it. Little bit. Sounds a little bit like that to me. Joshua, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. 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 It's a long distance connection. I thought maybe I might have lost you.
Is that a fair estimation? Yeah, I think you're summarizing well. I think the Pope really wants us to focus on the conscience question, about allowing people to discern the situation in their life, to discern what God may be saying to them. And I think what he says, that not applying a general norm, you can no longer simply be said that all those in any irregular situation are living in a state of mortal sin and are deprived of sanctifying grace. That seems like a very substantial thing for the Pope to say, to kind of reframe the question away from always applying one single norm to every case, and to say, what is going on with this person's life? Mm-hmm. What is God saying to them?
Yeah.
He mentions in the example of someone who is divorced and remarried, you know, what if this person has been in this remarriage for a very long time, has shown fidelity, faithfulness, all those good qualities we'd see we'd identify in a Christian marriage, and how do we evaluate that, and how do we think about that? And that thing is different than another thing, which is someone who, you know, has been remarried for a little while, and it was kind of on a fluke or on a some other type of situation, and to evaluate those two things differently.
Right. Okay.
And so yeah. I think
it certainly that makes sense. In that, if we say in our civil law, again, just looking here in North America, in our civil law, we don't just have, you know, one sentence for all a whole bunch of categories of crimes, that, you know, think there's great many gradations. And the church, while we have venial and mortal sin, we're not limited to, well, anybody that's in any variety of situations, we need to lump them all together with one another. And it sounds like the Pope is helping us to I think he does so many times. One of the things that I loved about his homily here in Madison Square Garden when he was visiting New York City was this. I find this analogous to what we're talking about here. He's saying, well, in a city, it's very easy to kind of just have all the different faces kind of blur into just one mass of population. And yet, he says, each person is an individual with a family history and with feelings and emotions and with struggles and with joys. And what it sounds like he's saying to us in this pastoral teaching document is, let's also remember that when we're talking about people in a great many variety of situations that are all very different, and that we can't sweep a broad brushstroke with everybody who is divorced and all that. All those people are in this big, just go stand over here on this other side of this line and you guys are all the same. So, I mean, it's refreshing to hear that.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that's what the Pope is doing, and he's saying we need to evaluate different situations differently. Mm. And he does say that he knows that this might, that it might make people uncomfortable. Some people want very strict.
Yeah.
People are afraid of moral confusion, is what he says, and they want more strict norms. He talks about a church that is a mother that goes out on the street, and, you know, even if she might get her feet dirty or get slipped in the mud. And he's very good at these potent images. But he says that's what he thinks Jesus is calling the church to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very strong sentiment.
We're with Joshua McElwee. He's an award-winning Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter and author of the new book, 10 Things Pope Francis Wants You to Know About the Family. We're talking about the brand new document about love in the family called Amoris Laetitia. We're running a little low on time, Joshua, but we'll have to have you back, or I would imagine, like many other Catholic media outlets, we'll be talking about this not just today, but for a long time. But before I let you go, I've got to, as I think many of our bishops and other Catholic media are rightly focusing on, it's 325 paragraphs, and not all of them are about people that are struggling with various situations that aren't the perfection of the Church's teaching. He does this wonderful exegesis, is probably a fancy word to say, tearing mm-hmm. open the scriptures for us in chapter 4, that's called Love and Marriage, where he breaks down St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, that most of us have certainly heard at a wedding at one time or another, and does what I've heard some commentators say is an unprecedented, extremely powerful breakdown of what love is based on that scripture. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a beautiful rendition. He goes word by word in Greek. He looks at the original Greek words to see what they mean in the original language. And what's even more striking is after that, in that chapter, he then basically speaks very directly to young people getting married, or maybe even older people getting married, and tells them some advice on what marriage will be like and how they should talk to one another and to make sure to dialogue and to make sure to have good intention, even when you're arguing. Very simple, very straightforward, almost Pope as guru language that I think many people will find very moving and helpful.
Well, and there's so much more to talk about. We wanted to have you on the day that the document drops, and that, of course, was earlier this morning, Rome time, and then we broadcast here on the Catholic Channel a press conference that was held at the USCCB in Washington, D.C. earlier today. But we want to talk about this, but there's so much more to say, and I'm sure so much more for you to write. You might be up late tonight crafting some things, Joshua, I bet, huh?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
Hope keeps us busy.
Well, then I really appreciate the time that you took. 6 hours off of the time that we are here. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Busted Halo Show. And people can check out your book, 10 Things Pope Francis Wants You to Know About the Family. We'll put a link on our radio blog at bustedhalo.com/radio so people can find that as well. Joshua, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.